Okay, so this is Kay Sidebottom and Nick Sennett with a reflective discussion. So, Nick, I'm just going to ask you a little bit about the relationship between the recovery-orientated practice that you do from a health perspective and how you feel that it links with the social purpose way of teaching.
So, there's been a strong tradition, certainly within health, to look at alternative approaches when working with people. To promote their sense of independence, right to self-determination, and also to make decisions about your own life effectively. And the recovery, model has been something that I've been interested in for a long time now, but has become more relevant for me as a working within the Recovery College over the past 2 years. Basically, with the recovery model, it acknowledges the person's right and acknowledges their expertise to make decisions about their own health. And even if they make the wrong decisions, that they're still validated because it's a learning process. And this is how it starts to link with you know, sort of social purpose teaching. From my perspective, certainly what I've experienced at Northern College and working with different people at Northern College and also through my course, is that social purpose teaching is all about the individual. It's all about the individual's right to make choices about what courses they want to do, where they want to be in terms of the learning. This idea that, and certainly I've experienced it myself, that you're trying to get people in the stretch zone as opposed to, you know, sort of carrying people. And I think we have a tendency within health to do that, although we're stepping outside that now and looking at approaches that's going to give people the power and change that power, really. And for me, social purpose teaching is all about giving people opportunities to grow and develop. And certainly that's how it kind of links within the college. So we might start with somebody that is actually really reticent about doing any type of course because they've had a really bad experience of education, maybe when they were younger or school or whatever. And you're taking that person from a point of view where they start to do maybe one of our health promotion courses, they might dip the toe in and do a few more, they then might decide to become a volunteer and do some training with us, and then they're looking at what the next step is. And again, my experience of social purpose teaching is that ability to create opportunities for people, you know, to question as well. I mean, there's a real political aspect to social purpose teaching as well about, you know, challenging established structures. Just because they're there doesn't mean that the right way to go, you know. But I think they do that in a respectful way. And obviously we have to be careful with that within health because we have to work within our own structures as well.
Yeah.
So, and obviously, you know, some of the readers, you know, kind of talk about this idea of creating that opportunity, you know, which is really important.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I can really see the links there. And I'm wondering, just thinking about sort of some of the theory that maybe underpins some of this, and I don't know, it just occurred to me while you're speaking, that idea of the sort of Maslow stuff and the hierarchy of needs. Does it relate to that, do you think, in...
Yeah, I think that's relevant because I think when people first come to the college, to our college, they're very much at that basic level,
mm-hmm.
that basic room, you know the survival needs, if
yeah,
you like.
Yeah.
And I suppose what we are trying to encourage people to do is get to further up the ladder, to maybe focus more on, you know, that self-actualisation
mm-hmm.
pinnacle. That we'd all like to achieve,
yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? And
yeah,
creating
yeah.
opportunities for people to do that. And I think that's crucial, creating opportunities.
Yeah.
So a good example with volunteers would be that, you know, we are talking about people going on to further education, people doing employment, getting jobs, whatever. But unless people have the opportunities to do that, and that's something that we're building in at the moment within our kind of programme, you know, doing more courses on employability skills
mm-hmm.
and things
mm-hmm.
like that, then you know it becomes tokenistic that
yeah.
choice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, so Maslow's a good example. You know, and in some of my work, and certainly within the courses I do on personal development, we also look at things like SWOT analysis, looking at people acknowledging what the strengths are mm-hmm. and the needs are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
what the
yeah.
opportunities and what the potential threats are. And getting people to weigh up decisions using things like a force field analysis, you know, where you're breaking things down into two columns.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really useful as well, in terms of, you know, I suppose it is about valuing the person first and foremost, the person first. And that fits very much into the recovery model and to the social purpose teaching.
Yeah.
Kind of approach, really.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. One of the things I've been thinking about recently, and I'd be interested in your opinion on this, I went on a session to do with the community philosophy work I do, and the facilitator of that was saying, at the moment, the way adult education is going, certainly the sort of education world that we move in, there's a lot of focus on individuals and individual self-actualisation, individual support, learning needs support, all of that sort of stuff, which is great. But what he said was it tends to be directed between student and teacher. But what isn't possibly being done enough is actually building community and building sort of peer support and networks between students themselves. So we're sort of going down this individual route and losing a bit of the more pro-social stuff in our teaching. So I wonder what you thought, whether that's something that you think is true in health recovery or not.
And it's becoming more and more relevant for people, I think, because one of the things, certainly within substance misuse and within mental health, is you've got a really strong peer support mm-hmm. kind of theme coming through, really. And again, what we've done with the exchange is that we've got volunteers that are in peer roles.
Right.
So a good example of that would be that when they're doing qualifications, we might set up like a study group where people will come along and support each other.
Yep.
And that's part of what I've learned through coming to and seeing that in action, really, through Northern College and through my Cert Ed, is that, you know, it's great to have that kind of teacher input where you're getting that one-to-one, and it's wonderful. But actually, it's also equally wonderful when a peer will come up and say, well, I've done this, and this is how I learnt, you know, and I think that's wonderful. It's got a really strong kind of beneficial kind of element to it in terms of health as well, because it's that idea of lived experience.
Yeah.
I've gone through it myself. This is the approach that's worked for me. You know, what do you think?
Yeah.
You know, and we use that with the co-production as well, this idea that people will come with their own lived experience of depression or anxiety or whatever, and help us to design a course that's in keeping with what people want.
Yeah.
You know.
It's really interesting, and it's making me think, and I think we do, certainly on this course, we try and build in peer support through Yammer and those kind of platforms so that people will actually help each other rather than necessarily everything being rooted through us. And I think there's something about sustainability there, so after the course people can go on, like you say, like in your context. But I wonder whether there's a barrier in, certainly in terms of where people are paying to come on courses, because they don't expect that they might have to do that. Do you know what I mean? There's that dependency on the teacher.
Yes.
And on the institution, because hold on a minute, we paid $3,000 for this, so we don't want to be helping each other particularly. We want it all to come from you.
Yeah.
And I guess that isn't true in your setting in the same way that it possibly is a barrier here.
No. But interestingly enough, one of the things around, I suppose, this peer idea is, I suppose, getting people to feel part of a community. And I think that's a really important aspect. Although you don't want to create a dependency, and that's what we're very careful at the Exchange Recovery College, because we very much consider ourselves at the first rung of the ladder in terms of getting people into education and then referring people onto an alternative. But equally, what we also want to create is this idea that you are part of a community, that you can you know, look at what resources and availability is within the college that you can use, and part of that is about pulling on your peers.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's a resource.
Yeah,
especially
absolutely.
At a time when funding is stretched and we're all busy people, and it's there might be a time element. So the study groups work really well.
That's brilliant, and I think there's something about fostering that sense of sort of belonging as well, and identity. As I say, that kind of takes you further down that that sort of self-actualisation route, but in a social way rather than just an individual way.
Yeah.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thank you.